Praise the Lord. I just want to say again what an honor it is for me to be with you today in this church and to be with your wonderful pastor and pastors, Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie. I want to tell you, church, they're excellent in everything they do. They're excellent. They have taken such perfect care and attention to detail of everything we need. And I know they've been trained right. Good pastor, I know, just look around, Pastor Mick. Okay. But we're just grateful, and you need to know that your pastors are excellent. It speaks of them, but it speaks of you. And so we're grateful to be here. It's an honor to be here, to be invited. It's certainly an honor to be ministering along with Reverend Greer. He's someone that I look up to like no other in the body of Christ, and I'm thankful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Were you ready to get back into the Word again this morning? Amen. Let's go ahead and read our text, and then we'll make some comments. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, and we'll read our text again. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We can see here that God is pleased when things go well. God is pleased when there is peace, when there when things are calm and things are the way they should be. God's not the author of disorder and disharmony, and he's the order of things being in order. He's the author of that. And so it's His pleasure, His good pleasure, that we lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, dignity, and honor. Now, that's not always possible, but it's always His highest. Amen. Because, you know, Peter talked about, he said, if need be for the time be, you're experiencing things. In another place, he said, if the will of God be so that you suffer persecution. There are times when those things come, but they don't come from God. God allows things to happen that he doesn't commission or ordain. He allows those things to happen. But it's His highest and best for the church to have to pray and lift up their leaders, pray for their leaders, so that things go well in the state, in the natural life. Then the gospel, people are more open to the gospel when there's not chaos and turmoil. Amen. And so it's His will, but then He has a desire or a purpose beyond that, and He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's really the ultimate aim of God, is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's important for us to pray. You know, we mentioned yesterday, and of course you already know this, that most of the time people do not pray for first things first. They pray for their own needs first. Because we're conscious of our needs, our bodies, our finances, our family, our, you know, marriage, our job, whatever. We're so conscious of those things, and we want them to go right. But Paul said here, if we'll put first things first, these things will go right. Think about in our world, and we live in the freest society that's ever lived. Now, it's not a political message. I'm just saying the United States of America, we have more freedom than any other nation in the world in history. And yet, even in our nation, when things are not going right with the government, we suffer. When ungodly people are in control and things are happening when the government is championing things that are perverse and outside the will of God, everybody suffers. It's even more so in other nations. That's why the Apostle Paul said, put this first. If you put this first, some of the things we would otherwise be praying about, we would need to pray about. Amen. Amen. So we talked about exercising authority a little bit yesterday, and we mentioned the fact that we have authority over the devil. We have authority over Satan. We have authority over demon spirits. As they affect our own personal lives, we don't have to pray. We don't have to fast or anything like that. When the devil raises his head, we can just speak to him and say, no, you don't. Not in my life. Now, what you do next door, that's between you and next door. But in my life, in my family, I'm not having this in the name of Jesus. It's not according to the word of God. It's contrary to the covenant that I have, and I'm not going to put up with it. So we rebuke the devil and put him in his place. When we're dealing with other people, we don't have authority over them. And we don't have, we have more limited authority in their lives because they ultimately have authority. Particularly if they're born again, they have certain rights and privileges that non-born again people have, but they have to exercise their authority. And so that's why when people first get saved, you know, pastors, you've experienced this, when people come to the Lord, first get saved, they come up and you lay hands on them, they just get healed of just so easily. But when people are more mature in the Lord expects more out of them. And so they have to use their own faith more. But we're talking about praying for the government. And I said this yesterday, remember, Satan is still the god of this world. And he's still the god of the kingdoms of this world. And the United States of America is one of the kingdoms of this world. And Satan still has a place in the natural affairs of men. He does. He does. And so we can exercise authority over demon spirits in our own lives, but we can also exercise authority over demon spirits when they attack the church, when they're working to hinder the church. In 1952 in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Brother Hagin was visiting with a pastor. He was ministering for this pastor, and he barely knew him. He knew him. And he knew about the situation. This pastor's former wife had left him for another man and actually was, you know, just had a lot of paramours that she was cohabitating with. And she had left this pastor and their daughter. And so they had gotten a divorce. This pastor had remarried. Brother Hagin only knew about the situation. He didn't really know the man very well, didn't know the woman at all. But he had heard about the situation. So they were he was holding meetings in this church. And after the service one night, they were in the pastor's parsonage and his wife had gone to bed. Their daughter was sitting up. And Brother Hagin and this pastor were discussing Bible issues, you know, and topics. And so the little girl came in and said, Daddy, you know, I need to go to bed. Will you pray with me before I go to bed? So they all three of them knelt down in the kitchen. And Dad Hagin said that as soon as he said he never expected what happened to happen than anything in the world. He never felt any more ordinary any day of his life. But he knelt down just simply to pray with this pastor and his little girl. And when he knelt down, he just knelt down and suddenly he was in a cloud of glory. So he was caught up in the Spirit of God. He actually had an open vision. He said his eyes were wide open and he couldn't see the table, the chair, the stove, the kitchen, anything. He couldn't see anything. It was an open vision. And so the Lord appeared to him and talked to him about some things, showed him about how the devil gets a hold of people if they'll yield to him, particularly Christian people, if they let him. And Reverend Greer is going into more detail about that in these meetings. Thank God. And then next in April. Yeah, it's going to go into next month even more. But I will mention this, that Brother Hagin brought out, and this is the part that's pertinent to what we're talking about. He told Brother Hagin to speak to that evil spirit that was harassing this pastor through this pastor's ex-wife. This woman had, Brother Hagin didn't know this until afterwards. This pastor's ex-wife had recently threatened to come back to that town and just stir up a lot of trouble for her ex-husband. Brother Hagin didn't know that. But he said he saw in the spirit that this woman was harassing and intimidating this pastor and trying to interfere with his ministry. So the Lord told Brother Hagin to speak to that spirit in the name of Jesus and command it to desist in harassing and intimidating and trying to deter the work of his servant, this pastor. He went on to say, this is the point that I wanted to bring out this morning. He went on to say a little bit later, Jesus told him, now any Christian can do this. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be in the ministry. He said, and he said something very remarkable that we should all get a hold of as church members. He said, anytime anyone is acting in a way to interfere with, harass, or trouble, intimidate, or bring any kind of confusion into a church, he said, anytime anyone is doing that, it is always because of an evil spirit.
Yeah, right.
And I'm telling you, Christians can yield to that. He said, let me say it again. He said, anytime anyone is acting in a way to harass, intimidate, deter the ministry of a minister or interfere with the church, he said that is always the work of an evil spirit. He didn't say that person was possessed of an evil spirit, but they are yielding to an evil spirit. He said, anytime that happens, he said, you can take authority over that and put a stop to it. He said, you don't have to be in the ministry. You don't have to be a fivefold office. Anyone, anywhere, when they realize that's happening, they don't have to see an evil spirit. He said, you don't have to have a gift of the Spirit of any kind. You don't have to have discerning of spirits. You don't have to have a word of knowledge. You don't have to have any gifts of the Spirit. He said, just know when anyone is acting in a way to try to bring confusion and harassment and so forth into a church, it's always an evil spirit, and anybody can put a stop to it. Too often, church members wait on their pastor to deal with everything. And that's not, now the pastor does need to deal with certain things. There are things that church members, because they don't really understand the full scope of what's going on, they can mess things up. The pastor he's gifted by God to have a broader perception because he's the shepherd. He sees things that are going on in a congregation from a different perspective than church members do. They often see one side of it. They see, just what they know. The pastor is gifted by God and anointed by God to deal with things. But on the other hand, I've pastored for 43 years. We turned the church over last year to our son. And I have so many times there have been things that have happened in the church that I had to deal with that if somebody else had dealt with it, it would have actually worked out better. Because if somebody is acting the way they shouldn't act, and you as a brother and sister in the Lord, you can just go to that person and say, you know what, you shouldn't be talking about the pastor that way. Or you could be at a fellowship meeting and you could simply say, you know, we ought to just shut this conversation down. I remember just right now, an instance comes to my mind where a group of people were at a church sanctioned fellowship. And after the church, and it was in someone's home, and after most people had left, there were just like three couples left there. And suddenly I became the pastor. I became the topic of discussion, and it wasn't in a good light. Because I had preached recently against Christians in America drinking alcohol of any kind. I said, now, if you live in France or Italy, you were raised, everybody just drinks it like we drink tea or coffee. Yeah. I said, that may or may not, I'm not even addressing that. Yeah. But in the United States of America, you do not have, as a Christian, you do not have the liberty to take a sip.
That's right, come on.
I said, what people, have you ever heard the term syntax? And I'm not talking about grammar. I'm talking about S-I-N. The tax on cigarettes and alcohol and gambling. And I don't know if there's any. Those taxes are known as sin taxes. Even the world knows it's sinful.
That's right. Even the world knows it's sinful.
And so as a Christian, I said, you know, you could... I guarantee you this would never happen, but I guarantee you if I went into a store and walked out with a six pack of something that looked like alcohol, it would, if somebody saw that, it would ruin my testimony and could cause people to backslide. I'd say, well, or even worse, Someone that used to have a drinking problem could say, well, Pastor Anderson had, you know, I saw him carrying out beer. I can drink beer. And the next thing you know, they're off the wagon. Amen. I said, it's not right. There's no excuse for it. Well, this became the topic of this little meeting and that and a couple of other things. And there were people there that were innocent that just happened to be there, and they told me about it, but they didn't deal with it there. Somebody could have said, you know what? This is out of order. This is completely out of order, and we're not having this discussion. And brother, respectfully, you need to just stop this. And that would have been kind of confrontational, but even on a less confrontational level, you see somebody in the church and they're developing a bad attitude about something. You don't have to do it in a correcting way, but you can just say in a real sweet way, just bring the other side. You know, it's always best to look at the positive side. Look at the good that's going on. Because you might offend somebody and they're just offended at you. The pastor offends somebody, it can take out entire families out of the church. Amen. Well, in this business of taking authority over the devil, see that in that situation, one of those people there could have just taken authority over the devil. Now, you don't necessarily need to tell somebody you're doing that. You're not taking authority over them. You're taking authority over the spirit that's working behind them. They don't need to be told they've yielded to the devil most of the time. You have to use some common sense. We had a situation early on in our ministry. We had just, the church was 3 years old. We had a lady in our church who was a worship leader. And because I had brought in another worship leader, she had gotten her feelings hurt. Somebody else in the church had gotten their feelings hurt because her feelings were hurt. And then I had a youth minister that I had to deal with, he and his wife. It was all of this was kind of, this kind of fermenting, you know. And so a lady in the church came to me. She said, Pastor, she said, I have got to apologize to you. I said, for what? She said, I was at so-and-so's house. They invited us for dinner. And we had a wonderful dinner. And then after the dinner, we were sitting around talking. And we're talking about the church, how blessed we were and what a great church we have and how great pastors we have. And this couple said, yeah, Pastor Angela. They didn't call me pastor. They said Edwin and Angela. They're wonderful. But we believe that it's time for them to move on. And started talking this stuff. And you know what? This lady that came to me embarrassed and ashamed, she didn't put a stop to it. She should have said, you know what? I don't think that's true. Pastor's the pastor of this church. We shouldn't be having this conversation. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't think it's godly. And let's just join hands and let's pray for Pastor Anderson. She didn't do that. So a few days later, I got a call and a visit from somebody else that wasn't at that meeting. There was another dinner that the same youth pastor and his wife had. So this happened to three or four different couples that came to me and said this had happened. And they all could have stopped it, any one of them. But instead, it split my church. I had to deal with it. And when I dealt with it, then people started taking sides. And it wasn't an even split. I mean, it was, you know, it was like 30-60, you know, something like that. And but we lost some people over it when it could have been stopped by somebody else. Because anytime that was an evil spirit working through that couple, that was a demon spirit working through them. And any of those people could have just taken authority over that and said, we're not having this disrupting our church and put a stop to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when that's not the same thing as casting the devil out of somebody. Binding the devil that's operating in somebody's life is not the same thing. Casting an evil spirit out of someone, most often, I wouldn't say every time, but most often requires an operation of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit involved. And any believer can cast out devils, but most believers don't. Now, I know Norval Hayes used to say everybody ought to cast out devils out of everybody. I don't know that that's necessarily balanced, but any Christian could cast the devil out of anybody if the anointing came to do it.
Right, yeah.
Because you need the anointing to operate in these areas. Amen. So I just wanted to clear up a couple of things there. Amen. I talked yesterday about the first hindrance we have to praying like we should pray. How many of you, when if you're just on it, you don't have to raise your hand, but just I can see the expression on your face. When the preacher or somebody else starts talking about praying for your nation, right away you feel bad. Because you haven't been doing it. And whether you actually have this thought or consciously you have this feeling, oh no. Here we go again. It's a burden. It's a burden. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not a burden. It's not a burden. It's a misunderstanding of what's going on makes it burdensome. So the second hindrance that... And I know this is a hindrance. I'm sure it's a hindrance to other people because it has been to me. We know we should pray for those in authority, but we think it always requires a lot of time, which we don't think we have. Now, just ask yourself this question. How many times have you thought, I really need to pray for those in authority, and when I get home tonight, when I have time, I'll do that. We think that it always takes a lot of time. I mentioned this yesterday, that this passage talks about supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. Well, supplications are prayers. Intercessions are prayers. Thanksgivings are prayers. Why did he mention those and then say prayers? Well, God's not redundant. He doesn't just stumble and misspeak.
Yeah, right.
He's to me, it's fairly clear that these are special types of prayers, and then there's generalized prayers.
Yeah.
Go with me to Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 9. For God is my spirit, excuse me, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Now notice this, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, when I first got back into fellowship with the Lord, I'd been raised in a Pentecostal church. And it was customary for people to shake hands, you know, when they were leaving. They said, well, pray for me. And I've done this since I've been pastoring. I had people just used to do that all the time. And this one man in particular, he'd say, pray for him. I just hold on to his hand. He thought he was going to get away. I said, what for? And he just kind of, well, just pray for me. I just pray for him. I said, what do you need? Well, I just need to be blessed. I said, well, let's just pray right now. Instead of obligating me to spend time later, why don't we just pray right now? You do know, don't you, that most of the people that say, well, I've been praying for you, or I will pray for you, won't and aren't.
They're not.
You do know that, right?
Yes,
well, praise the Lord. It's a surprise here to Pastor Chip. I don't think it is. He said, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I looked up making mention in the original Greek, and do you know, the translated in English, you know what that literally means? It means to make mention.
Yeah.
I started to say a minute ago, and something got my attention off. They used to say in our church, you know, pray for me. Then another thing they'd say, you know, mention me in your prayers. And when I got into the back into Fellowship of the Lord, started going back to church, and got exposed to the Word of Faith and how to pray scripturally, pray in the name of Jesus, and how to pray by faith. We kind of, my friends and I who were being enlightened, we would laugh at that, well, just mention me in your prayers. We thought that was just like a Pentecostal tradition, something people said. Paul made mention of people in his prayers. That means he didn't spend, to make mention, if you look it up, it means to call to remembrance and just mention somebody. Well, let's look at a couple more. This wasn't an isolated thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You will find here to mention that in a moment that Paul did a lot of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Go to Philemon. You know that little forgotten book? Little forgotten letter. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Then this word is also translated, go back to Philippians. It's also translated remembering. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. That's the same word that's translated making mention of you. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul had a lot of things to pray about.
Yes, he did.
He had basically introduced Christianity to Asia and Greece and Italy. I mean, he had a huge reach. Churches were springing up. He had a lot of people to pray for. And he talks about praying often, night and day, when he remembered them. He said, I remember you often and I make mention of you in my prayers. A.T. Robertson was a Greek scholar, and he published some literary works, Bible study aids. One of them is entitled Word Pictures in the New Testament. And I don't remember which of these verses it was. I was looking through these verses, and A.T. Robertson made this comment on one of these verses. He said, it appears that the Apostle Paul had prayer lists. You know, we have a lot of things computerized now, but we make lists. And I don't know why, but just that was kind of a new thought to me, that the Apostle Paul, it looks like this Greek scholar said, it looks like the Apostle Paul had prayer lists to keep himself reminded to pray. But when he prayed often, but he didn't necessarily pray in depth. He made a mention. We all have time for a mention. We all have. Yeah. In our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about supplications and intercessions also. Supplication is usually more intense praying and can involve fervency. Remember in James it says the fervent, effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fervency is important. We shouldn't just be lackadaisical in our praying. We should pray with intention and purpose and conviction. But then there is a heavenly fervency that comes by the anointing. When we begin to take on the burden of heaven, because God longs so intensely for people, his longings are beyond what we understand and are accustomed to. But you can get over into a place of prayer, and I have many times where I seem to pick up the burden of heaven about something. That I have found from experience, that's when things really begin to work. That's when answers really begin to come and breakthroughs come. So supplication and intercession can often take some time. And now it doesn't always have to take time. Remember, we read about Abraham yesterday. He interceded on behalf of the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it from the text, he was just standing there before the Lord and had this conversation, and that was the end of it. The Lord left him, and his prayers worked. Amen. Lot and his family were delivered out. But supplication and intercession can take a long time, but it doesn't take long at all to mention someone in prayer.
Amen.
We have a missionary that travels out of our church. He and his wife were members of our church, and they went to Quebec City to start a church. Their names are Ike and Cindy Cool. His legal name is actually, I think, Joseph. Huh? Say it again.
Daniel Joel.
Daniel Joel Cool. So you could say his name was Joe Cool. But anyway, he chose Ike. His name's Ike Cool. Wonderful man of God, he and his wife. So he was back visiting our church one time. And he said, listen, church, he said, when you think about it, just pray for us. He said, you don't have to pray a lot. He said, and I'd never seen this. He said, the Apostle Paul many times just said he made mention of you. He said, just make mention of us in prayer.
Yeah.
When it comes to praying for our government, this is one thing that's real effective. You can make mention. Yesterday was a good example. After the service, it was kind of a medium example. After the service, I think we prayed for maybe 4 or maybe 5 minutes for our nation.
Yeah.
Not much longer than that. That's not very long.
Right.
There are some times when I don't even take that long.
Yeah, right.
Well, I try every day to at least make mention. I just said, God, you know, we live in the United States of America. We've got a very unique form of government. We are privileged to have a voice. We're really a republic more than a democracy.
Yeah.
We're a representative republic. We have a lot of say in government, what goes on. We can voice our opinions and all that. Most nations don't have that freedom. In Paul's day, they didn't have that freedom. Now, the Roman government was a form of democracy, but it was kind of twisted. And they had some democratic order, and they had senators and different people. But the common people didn't get to participate. It's doubtful that most people knew who all of their authoritative figures were. It's doubtful the Apostle Paul knew. He couldn't call a lot of names.
Right, right.
He didn't need to call a lot of names. You don't have to call everybody's name.
Right.
You don't have to call every senator and congressman or even your own. There are times when I do that. There are times when I start with the federal government, and I start with the executive branch, and I pray for the president and the vice president, and I pray for the departments that answer to him. You know, those officials, like the Department of Justice, do they need prayer? Yes. The Department of State, they set, you know, foreign policy. Department of Defense, the Department of Education, which a lot of people don't think, we don't even need a Department of Education. We didn't have one until a few years ago. Department of Homeland Security, Department of the Interior, which is borders and customs and all of that. There are a lot. You can go through and you can break that down and you can get into a lot of detail. And occasionally I'll do that. And then I'll go to the legislative branch and I'll pray for the congressmen and the senators and then I'll pray for the Supreme Court and the nine justices. Then what about the district federal courts that are around the country? They make decisions. They're overseen by a panel of judges. I pray for them. You know, the D.C. court, they need prayer. Glory to God. And then I go to the state government, do the same thing. Oftentimes I'll pray for the advisors to these people. And all these senators, congressmen, Supreme Court, they have aides and clerks that bring them information, funnel information, help them. I mean, you can spend as much time as you have.
Yeah.
And there are times when I do that, but it's not necessary most of the time. Paul couldn't have done that. He said, just make mention. Oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
You drive into work, you can stick it on your, you know, put a hanger on your mirror every morning when you're going to work. I'm going to mention my government in prayer. Father, I pray for those in authority. I ask you, Lord, to send the gospel to them that they'll be saved. Send the Spirit of God to water that word so that it'll come to life. I pray for the salvation of my leaders. And I pray for those who are saved, Father, that they'll come to the top, that they'll have great influence, that their political careers will succeed, that they'll have godly influence. And you can pray a few minutes while you're driving every day.
Amen.
less than 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. It's the Lord said this to me. He said the effectiveness of this kind of simple praying, and not just for the government, but for anybody. The effectiveness, now understand before I say what the Lord said, we're not talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, you pray one time for yourself. Prayer of faith is primarily for you, your covenant rights. You see what belongs to you. You say, Father, I believe I received that. In Jesus' name. You don't ever have to pray about it again.
Right.
Second time you pray about it and ask it, you're unbelief the first time. You got into unbelief.
Yeah.
You pray, you believe, you receive, and then from then on, you just thank God for the answer.
You just thank God.
But when you're praying for other people, it's not the prayer of faith, unless you're just, if you're praying in agreement with them,
right,
then that's a specific form of the prayer of faith. But when you're praying for other people, often you have to pray more than once.
More than once.
Because their will and their knowledge and their understanding of spiritual things. And so you pray, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, the effectiveness of this kind of simple praying is not necessarily in its fervency, but in its frequency. Because remember, Paul said, he's over all of those scriptures we read, he said, I do this without ceasing. I do it always in every remembrance of you, day and night. It wasn't in the length of the prayer, even the fervency of the prayer, it was in the frequency. He never let it get away from God. Not that God can forget anything, but he continued to put God in remembrance. Wouldn't you love it if somebody continually put God in remembrance of you? I mean, every day they just made a determination. I'm going to pray for my pastor every single day. I guarantee I've had people in my church that have done that. Not many, but I've had a few. This one brother, he went to heaven. I was sad, you know, when he left, because every Sunday he would come in and he'd say, Pastor, I was praying for you this week.
Yes.
Oh, what an encouragement,
yeah,
praise
absolutely.
God. I should have had him preach, but he wasn't a preacher, but glory to God. So it's important that we make a mention of him in prayer. Glory to God. And that, like I said, was a big hindrance. It's a big hindrance to a lot of people. They think, well, I just don't have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And then this last one I want to get to before we leave today. This third hindrance, I'll introduce it this way. Not too long ago, I was with a pastor. And now this is not saying anything negative about this pastor, because what was said was something that I've often said. If I hadn't said it, I know I've thought this before. I believe this, but maybe not put it in words. This pastor said, we were talking about praying for our nation. This pastor said, you know, I can't help but believe, Pastor Anderson, that there are sufficient people in our nation who are praying for those in authority. I just have to believe that there are certain people, and quite a few of them, that do this on a regular basis, and surely they have this covered. And this person said to me, and this is not to say anything negative about this pastor, I'm not even mentioning their name. But said, Brother so-and-so, I know Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so pray along this line. And after all, in Ezekiel, it says that God was looking for a man, just a man, to save an entire nation. And I didn't really realize that I thought the same way. I don't know that I'd ever put it in those words, but that was kind of my understanding too. I'm just going to leave it to Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so.
Yeah.
And when this pastor said this, it occurred to me that there in Ezekiel, where it says, God said, I sought for a man. That's a specific situation that arose. God was speaking for a man. That's not New Testament.
Right, right.
The Lord said to me, today I'm not seeking for a man. The church is the man. Remember, it says there in Ephesians that of Jew and Gentile, God combined them to make of the two one new man. That new man is the new creation man, the body of Christ. Jesus, the Lord said to me by the Spirit, he said, I'm not seeking for a man. He said, you're the man. The church is the man. The church has already been given the assignment. So why should God be seeking a man?
Yeah, right, right. That's right.
Now let me, there's the other side of the mountain. The other side of the mountain is important too. I'm not saying that there are not people who are especially anointed by God to deal with things in government. I'm absolutely assuring you, there are people who, because of a place they have in the Spirit, that they have certain assignments from God, and they are given privilege to like Brother Greer talked about the other night, to see into the Supreme Court, into the Spirit, and do some things. Yes, thank God there are people that have special assignments like that, and God uses them. But is it so much so that God just especially chose them? Or did they make themselves available in prayer over time and learn to get into the Spirit where God could entrust certain things to them that He can't to other people? Either way, whether they're especially called or they just especially gave themselves to it, there are people like that, but the rest of us, that does not absolve us of our responsibility to do what we need to do. Because if you think about it, this business about praying for our nation, we've been talking about this for a long time. How many preachers have you heard preach about this? How many publications? How many rallies in D.C., prayer for... It's not that no one's praying. People are praying, but the church, I present to you today, the church as a whole, as the body of Christ, is waiting on somebody else to do it. Thinking somebody else is getting the job done. We are the man. You be the man. You're the man. I'm the man. We're the body of Christ. And God expects all of us to take our place. Now, I brought up yesterday how the Lord dealt with me in 1974 on the day Richard Nixon resigned from the presidency. When the first time I shared that, I thought, now, Lord, why are you wanting me to share this? Dad Hagen had this experience in 1979. Why is it important that I had this in 19? Why am I telling anybody? Am I telling people because I want to say, "Hoo-hoo, I had a similar experience as Brother Hagin"? That's not the reason. We think that God especially calls people. Let's say Dad Hagin. Now, Dad Hagin occupied a place in the Spirit where our government was concerned. He took care of some things while he was alive. Others, like Reverend Greer and some other people, God is using to do some of those things today. When Dad Hagin, because of the responsibility he has, he was given that assignment to deal with those three situations in the political, or the economic, and the social arena of the nation back in 1970, and he didn't do it. 1979, the Lord sharply rebuked him and said, "I'm holding you and the church, the Christians, responsible." Well, you could say, well, you know, that was Dad Hagin. You know, he had a lot of responsibility. The Lord did this to me in 1974. I just got back into fellowship with the Lord in August, September, summer 72. I'm not even 2 years old. You couldn't say I was anybody. You know, in the body of Christ, we're all somebody. I understand that. We're all part of the body, and I get that. But as far as being a super, like somebody special with a special anointing, I knew when I was a child that I was called to the ministry, but I didn't want to do that, and I ran from it. And when I was a young teenager, I backslid completely, and I just completely lost that sense. When I got back into fellowship with the Lord in 72, I don't remember how long it was before I began to, that awareness that one day I would be in the ministry begin to surface. I don't think it happened in the first couple of years. It might have been 3 or 4 years later. So when the Lord said that to me that day, who in the world was I? In the sense that we commonly talk about it, I was nobody. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't in the ministry. I didn't have a voice. I was just an ordinary Christian. And these things had just happened. My point is, all of us have responsibility. It didn't just belong to Brother Hagin and a few other people that we know. It doesn't just belong to them. It's not just required of them. It's required of all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The need is urgent in our nation. We are not out of time, but time is not our friend. Time is ticking on. And we can change our nation. We can change our government. We can change the climate, the spiritual climate of our nation. But we cannot afford to wait expecting somebody else to do it. And we don't have to get lost in the spirit and have an open vision and have things. We don't have to have that to make our contribution. All we have to do is just make mention in prayer. How easy is that? How convenient? How simple is that? There really isn't an excuse. And like I said a few minutes ago, there are a lot of people praying, but I'm not going to say it's not working. Who knows where we would be if those people weren't praying? But the tide continues to go in the same direction it's been going. So it seems clear to me that whatever good has happened and is being done, it's not enough. And I don't think the answer is another rally in Washington, D.C., where people who already believe in prayer, who are already in prayer, can get together and pray together and maybe pat each other on the back. I don't know. I don't think that's what's needed. I think it's needed in our churches, brothers and sisters, ordinary people who have just been born again, who don't have any, spiritual responsibility very much. God's not entrusted. They're still entrusted to pray. This verse, when the Lord said that to me, I had read some teaching on it, and I knew to pray, but the Lord had never really dealt with me especially about it, like He had Brother Hagin. When the Lord dealt with Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin had a vision. I hadn't had a vision. It kind of stunned me. It's like, well, why are you chewing me out? I didn't say that, but because I was so overcome with emotion. But if God held me responsible then, all of us are responsible. Praise the Lord. This is good news. This is one of those hindrances. This is that third hindrance. We're thinking somebody else is going to do it. No, God's waiting on us. Yeah, He's searching for a man. The man's you. You're the one He's searching for. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I want to go any further in this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will say this, that I believe judgment, we talked about this at lunch. I believe our nation is experiencing judgment because of disobedience right now. I believe a lot of the things that have happened and are happening are because of God's policy, his way of dealing with things. He's already outlined it. Brother Greer made this clear to us yesterday. He said, just look at the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Yeah. These blessings will fall if you obey me. These curses will come if you don't. Yeah. Judgment will come. Yeah. We're experiencing judgment right now as a nation. But we also need to be reminded that you and I can shine like lights in this world. Yes. Amen. And the believer need not experience judgment. Paul said, I judge myself. Or he told the Christians, he said, judge yourselves lest you be judged. Isn't that right? Well, we need to judge ourselves in this area. Because whatever happens to our nation, whatever direction it ultimately goes, if we're doing our part, we will rise above all of the judgment that's going on in our nation. Now, the same three areas are the devil's working in these same three areas today. The political scene. Can you admit to that? The social scene. My goodness. The economic scene. It's always just seems to be teetering. Well, these things are happening today. We can. Now let me go back and say this too. When I talked about the fact that Brother Hagin in the last few years of his life emphasized praying where these things are concerned. But that doesn't do away with taking authority over those evil spirits. Because the Lord told Brother Hagin, you take authority over these spirits that are operating in the economic realm, the social realm, and the political arena. Just take authority over those, but also do it in prayer. And so, let's see where we are. I'm not very good at this. Yeah, this is long enough. Why don't we just stand up and just take a few more minutes today. Not a long, long time. Glory to God. Because I don't want to take very long because one of my main points today is we don't have to take very long. But there are times when we need to take a little bit longer, okay? And thank God, God knows what you're doing. He knows what your day involves. He knows the things you have to do. He doesn't expect you, to spend all of your time in prayer. He understands that, but he does expect us to pray. Yes. Amen. Father, we just come before you today. We thank you. First of all, we thank you for those who are in leadership in our nation. We thank you for men and women who would give of themselves to serve the nation, to serve in our states and our local governments, to give of their time. They really don't make that much money, Father, if they're honest. They don't make that much money for the time and the commitment that it takes. We ask you, Father, to bless them. Thank you for them, Father. Bless them. Bless men and women who with an honest and pure heart want to serve and do good. Reward them. We know, Father, that there are people in government who are not serving selfishly. They're serving themselves. They're making themselves rich. They have a lot of bad motives. We're not talking about them. Those who there are so many, Father, that come. You know this. They come to D.C., And they're first time senators or congressmen, and their heart is right. They just want to come in and do good. The seduction of power is so great in these higher offices. So often, Father, they get seduced, like we've been talking about in these meetings, deceived, and before long they've lost all sense of their purpose and doing things for the right motives, and they just get sucked into those strong spirits that operate in government. Father, we're thankful for the ones who withstand that. We ask you, Lord, to give grace to more of our Christian leaders, Father, that they can withstand the temptations of power, the seduction of power, that they'll recognize what that is and stand up against it, take authority over it, Father. Glory to God. So they can stay in government long enough to actually do good and make a difference, Father, that's pleasing to you. Oh, we thank you for such men and women, Lord. Glory to God. We pray, Father, for the gospel. Send the gospel to those in government who don't know you, Father. What a harvest field, Father. Send your gospel. Send men and women chosen of you, Father, that would be the right person to go to these people. Whether it's in an office building in the Senate building, or whether it's in their hometown when they come home on break, some person that can just speak a word to them. Yes. Open their eyes, Father. Bring the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of that gospel. That you did that for each one of us. You brought the light of the gospel. You shone that light in our hearts to give the knowledge of Christ. Father, you can do that for any man and woman in this world, Father, that has not just sinned against this grace so much that you're just no longer dealing with them. But Father, even in such a case as that, we can bring them before you. And we do, Father. Give people another opportunity. We're talking about our leaders, Father. Give more opportunity, space to repent, space to change, space to yield. Give them the grace, Father, to like Lydia, to give heed to the things that are spoken, not pass them off as just another crazy constituent. Father, take these things to heart. Send the word, send the word. We pray, Father, for a mighty move of your Spirit, because the word has to be watered. The seed has to be planted, but then the Spirit of God has to water that. Father, send the Spirit into all of the levels of government, Father, to go after that seed and to bring enlightenment, to open people's eyes. We rebuke the blindness off the minds and hearts of our leaders, Father, who are blinded by the devil, the god of this world. Father, we rebuke that blindness, Father, in cooperation with the light that's coming into their lives, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray for them. We pray for the president. We pray for executive branch, all of those people that serve there. Father, we pray for our legislators in the House, the Senate. Father, we pray for the elections, because we shouldn't just pray during election season, but we certainly should pray during election season. Father, we pray that this election, these national elections, the president, the vice president, but then our state elections for our federal government, still national elections. We pray for every state. We pray for the right, correct balance in the House and in the Senate, that the right people be elected to office, and that they guard their hearts and do what is right. Give more grace. Sin abounds, Father. That just tells me more grace can abound. Glory to God. We pray for that, for this election, Father. Pray for the integrity of the election, the fairness of the election, the accuracy. Protect what is right. Protect what is right. Protect what is right, Father. And expose what is wrong and contrary to not only your law, but the laws of the land. Expose lawlessness. We know we live in a time where lawlessness is abounding, but it's not abounding in our hearts. It won't abound in the church. We can make an influence and make an inroad against this lawlessness. And we do this right now in Jesus' name. You foul spirits that are operating, we take authority over you in Jesus' name. Go out, go out, go out, angels of God. Go out and help people do what is right. Do the right things. Father, we pray that our leaders will honor our Constitution. Constitution isn't the Bible, obviously, but it's a wonderful document. It came by a different level of inspiration, but I believe with all my heart it was inspired of you. Father, we pray, Lord, that the inherent fundamental meanings of the Constitution will be adhered to in our day, Father. Glory to God. We pray for our governors, not just for me in Florida, but not just New York. All of our governors have implicated, we've seen that in the last election cycle, governors and secretaries of state and supervisors of elections on local levels, they have dramatic influence in national elections. We pray for every one of these states and these local governments, Father, that they will do the right thing. Father, bring the awareness of right. Expose wrong, expose sin, expose corruption, expose in such a way that men will be afraid to go down that route. They'll be afraid to be corrupt. Glory to God. Father, put the fear of you and the honor of doing what's right, put that back in people's hearts today, Father. Glory to God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for government on the local levels. We pray, Father, for our school boards and have such a dramatic influence over our children, shaping their minds and their lives. We pray for every school board superintendent, all through the counties, all through America, Father, that our children would be protected. We come against these foul spirits of perversion that are trying to corrupt and pervert the minds of our innocent little children. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, give grace, give grace, give grace, give grace. Oh, Father, upon those who serve in these capacities, help them to recognize, help them to become aware of the responsibility they have to not just do what's right in their eyes, but to do what's right in your eyes, and to do just to do what's right, Father. While we're praying, Father, we lift up our military, some of whom serve in foreign soil, some of them serve here in America, and it's dangerous everywhere. Father, we pray for their safety, safekeeping, Father. We pray for our law enforcement, federal, state, local. There's many different levels of law enforcement. We pray for all of those who carry the sword, as the Bible says. Father, we pray for our military and our law enforcement, that in every situation, where in every crisis, where a decision has to be made in a split second, Father, that they would have clarity, supernatural clarity, to see beyond the fog of war, as it's called, clarity of the, even on the streets of America, clarity to see what's right and what's necessary and what's not necessary, not go beyond what's necessary, but also not be hindered because of politics and fail to do what's right. Father, give every police officer, every sheriff, every marshal, everyone who serves in these police offices and military, give each one of these soldiers, Father, that clarity that they can do what's right when they need to do it, Father. And then protect them for doing right. Protect their lives, protect their careers for doing right. Glory to God, Father. Oh, we give thanks, Lord. We give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your will is being done. We believe our prayers are prevailing. We know they are. We know they are. We won't slack off in our praying, but we're not going to slack off in our faith either. We say with our mouths that God's plan and purpose will be fulfilled, and your will come to pass in Jesus' name. In this election, but not just in this election, all over our nation, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
When he was leading us in prayer, I had a vision. And I saw the Congress of the United States. I saw the building. And in the building, I saw a demon running around. And this demon is a seducing spirit. And this demon is operating against those in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. Our Supreme Court does not decide the laws of the land. They're supposed to interpret the laws of the land. But it's our House of Representatives, and especially the Senate, that decides the laws of this land and how we're going to go. But this seducing spirit is there to intimidate and get them not to pass a law, or either to pass laws that are ungodly and not to pass the laws that are right. And then I also saw that how this spirit moves on up the ladder towards the Supreme Court. So what we're going to do right now, because when he was praying, it unlocked something in me. That's why we need corporate prayer. You know what I mean? We need one another. Because I would have not probably had this experience and seen this vision had I not been here praying with the Reverend Edwin Anderson and all of you. So we all have a part to play in it. We are the body of Christ as a team, just like he has already taught us. And your prayers are very effective. And you don't have to have visions. Not all of us are given to that. You know, there's some people that I know that are given to dreams. I mean, God speaks to them prophetically. I mean, in dreams, and shows them things. But you know, I'll just let you know that sometimes if you're not given to it, don't be concerned about it. Just do whatever God calls you to do. But let me just throw my part in here, then I'll dismiss, because I already seen that he was going to call me up, and I had to be ready. Brother Hagin used to do the same thing, and I had to be ready because I was being trained back then. We're just going to take authority now over this in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the revelation, first of all. Lord, we thank you for revealing to us things that we need to know. Now, Lord, you know that I've always said that we should be the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. We should know what's going to happen before it happens, why it is happening and taking place, and then what our response to it should be. And so, Lord, you've allowed us to see into the realm of the Spirit corporately together, Lord. We were able to move into this, and we thank you for this. And now, Father, that you have shown me, I take authority over that seducing spirit right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that's roaming around that Congress building. Yes, I saw you, and you cannot hide any longer. And I command you to take your hands off the Congress of the United States of America. I command that deceptive spirit to take your hand off of their minds and loose them and let them go in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, which makes up our Congress, in the name of Jesus. I also command you in the name of Jesus to take your hands off the Supreme Court justices of the United States of America, and you loose them and let them go right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we know that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. And Lord, we know that we've been taught and trained that many times, or in fact all the time, the angels are bound by what we believe and what we pray. So right now, we loosen the angels of heaven to come and get involved in our Congress of the United States of America to influence them for good, just like demons would influence them for bad. And Father, I thank you that heavenly angels will come and influence the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And Lord, we loose those things to take place on this earth so that your will, your plan, and your purposes can take place. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes that's as simple as it takes. Amen. We love you and appreciate you.
Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, I don't want to say too much while I'm up here, so we're just going to get ready to receive our offering. Praise God. There's such a precious, yeah, you can go ahead and be seated. There's such a powerful and precious presence of the Lord in here, and we're just going to receive our love offering. And let's just face it, there's not much I can say up here that's going to make you want to give more than you already planned on. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, praise God. Let's just go ahead and get ready to pray. You know how we're filling out checks. If you're making out a check, we're just making it out to Family Church. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Thank you for what we've received. Lord, we're just so glad to be in your presence here. We are so glad and so grateful for this corporate setting, Lord, with these wonderful men and women of God and the brothers and sisters. Lord, we're just so grateful to be here. We're privileged and honored. And Father, as we just have an opportunity to be generous, to spend our treasure in the direction of the kingdom of God, Lord, we're just so honored to give and to sow into this offering. And so, Father, we just thank you. We just consider all of our needs met. Father, we consider every need of the Andersons ministry met, every need of Reverend Greer's ministry just abundantly met. Thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity to refresh these wonderful men and women of God. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Anderson. I'll tell you what, just as the offering is going to be going by for another minute, you know, Pastor Anderson, he was sweeping the floor clean today, probably in ways he wasn't even aware that he was sweeping the floor clean. But I think also he's probably pretty aware that he was. And folks, just remember, whether it's church leadership, whether it's even national leadership, you know, we do not speak against, you know, we do not, you know, embrace those that are trying to destroy leadership. Amen. Beware of that. I believe that you know it in your heart, and we've received something so great. Let's stand to our feet and we'll just rejoice as we go. Father, we just bless you. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We will not listen to those harassing spirits that can try to attack your leaders. And Father God, we will not personally assault those that are in political office. Father, we will not allow these hindrances. Father, we'll not just try to take the quick fix with our authority, nor will we just be think that it takes a burden of time to pray for our government. And Father, we will not just place it, the responsibility to pray for our political leadership, our civic government, we won't just expect somebody else to do it. Thank you, Lord. We'll put priority on it. And Father, we just give you all the praise today. We give you all the glory today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.